We would also say this. The household needs leaders because the household has an enemy. We have an enemy. And the enemy wants to just cause chaos in this place. He wants this place to look just like the world, where we love the things of the world, we do the things of the world, we act like the world towards one another. And ultimately, the enemy wants to destroy the household. So the household needs leaders. We're going to look at verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. And while I have some affinity for the English Standard Version, I'm going to use the NASB's version of Acts 20:28 up here just to teach us. Today we're going to talk about leadership. Who leads in the household of God? And whomever it is, we know that that leadership is further expression of God's love for us. So Acts 20:28 says this. Be on guard for yourself. So who is Paul talking to? Well, Paul is talking to the elders from Ephesus. If you look at verse 17, that's who he calls. It's kind of Paul's farewell to the troops, to a church that he loves in Ephesus. And he's giving them kind of their final instructions as the leaders of the church in Ephesus. And look what he says in verse 28. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Boy, that tells us that the church is really valuable to God. Why? Because it was purchased with the Son's blood. And that purchasing of the church with the blood of Christ is out of love for the church. Most popular verse in the Bible, most would say, would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. How much does God love the world? He loves the world that he gave his Son. He sent his Son to pour out his blood. And those who would have faith in that poured out blood would become part of the church. So we are valuable to God. We are valuable to God. And then what God does, as if Christ dying wasn't enough love. Although that's a lot of love. That is the greatest expression of love the universe has ever seen. He also, going back to verse 28 of chapter 20, further expression of his love is he gives leaders to the church. So we have to see it. We just came off a voting season, and we are so calibrated by our culture to see leadership almost as American political, rather than expressions of God's love for his people. That's where we've got to keep our focus when we look at this. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, this comes with a warning when we start talking about leadership. This comes with a warning. I think I have it up there. Oh, there it is. The structure revealed in Scripture may be different than the structure with which you are familiar. That's the first thing. So we've got different sorts of folks gathered together. We got some folks who didn't grow up in church at all. They know nothing about how leadership is structured. You see a guy maybe on Sunday mornings get up there and he teaches, well, he must be the leader. We got some people who have grown up in a church where the leadership is structured the very same way, and they're used to this type of leadership. We want to make sure, regardless of what we think about how leadership should be structured as we come in here, we first see it as an expression of God's love for us, and secondly, we examine what do the Scriptures say? First name, or first word in our name, Bible Baptist Church, meaning that's our authority. So the structure revealed in Scripture may be different than the structure that you're used to. So if this indeed is our goal is to glorify God. We want to be a household that glorifies God. And I don't mean just say it, right? Everybody says they want to glorify God. It's in the fruits we bear that shows, do we truly want to glorify God above all things? If it is indeed our goal, we need to allow God's word to guide us in all matters, including leadership. So we're going to look at it two ways today. I saved you from a really difficult message. So we're going to make this, it's just going to be two parts. I would say that we might finish early, but then I'm afraid the Lord would strike me down for lying. So we only have two parts. Number one, very simply, is the three words to describe these leaders. God is purposed by the Holy Spirit who inspired the Scriptures, inspired the writers of the Scriptures, to describe the leadership in three words, or by three words, rather. And then secondly, we want to ask ourselves, what are the responsibilities of these leaders? They have a responsibility. They have a responsibility given out of love for God's people. So what are these responsibilities? So let's just look at the first point. What are the three words used to describe these leaders? When I started studying, this is years and years ago, this is very eye-opening for me because I too was schooled in a particular leadership structure or how leadership was referred to, and it was very eye-opening to me. So if you have your eyes on verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, we see three words contained in there, two nouns and a verb. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders. First word, elders of the church. Be on guard for yourselves. So this is, I'm sorry, that's verse 17, and then picking up at verse 28 now. So in verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called him the elders of the church. So that's who his audience is. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. There's words number two. To shepherd, word number three, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the first thing we see here is this leadership. Leadership, all three of these words, elder, overseer, and shepherd, these three words used to describe leaders of God's household refer to the same person. It's not three different. There's not a, that guy over there is a shepherd. That guy over there is an elder, and that guy over there is an overseer. It's three words used to describe the same person. And what we find in Scripture, an expression of God's love for his people, to order the household, to make sure that household is fully glorifying the Christ who purchased the household with his blood, we find the leadership expressed in three ways. Elder, overseer, and shepherd. Each of these words describes a nuance about the type of leadership displayed by the person. So we must, and I keep pounding this, we must keep before us the fact that God's purposing of this leadership is an expression of his love for us. So the first one I want to look at is the one that you're most familiar with. We're all most familiar with. It appears in a verb form here, shepherd. He has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. We're very familiar with a word that is tied to shepherd. Shepherd. The word is the Greek word poimano, which very simply means to guide, to care for, to shepherd. So if we needed a picture of this word, there's the picture of the word. We all conjure up, even though we don't necessarily live in a rural or a heavily agricultural, or we know what a shepherd does. It guides a flock. It keeps a flock. It protects a flock. But now here's the strange thing, and this is where the American church in particular operates in a way that's odd in a way. It's not necessarily destructive, but it's just odd. If we look at this word, it is only used one time as a noun, as a title. So I'm called Pastor Kip. That's what people call me. That's my title. But that word, the noun version of that word, translated pastor, is only used one time in all of Scripture to talk about humans. Now, it talks about the shepherd, Jesus, but when it comes to humans, only one time. And I'm called nothing but that. I always find that interesting. So, for instance, if you have a King James Version, and the King James Version does not do a really good job of Ephesians 4:11. They put all these sums in there that aren't in the Greek text. But it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's our word. There's our word. Pastors. The problem is that we've come to see pastors as strictly a job title. Well, that guy on the left, he's a policeman. The guy in the middle, he's a doctor. The guy on the right, he's a pastor. And that's getting away. The word pastor is not supposed to be merely a job title. So the ESV, if you have an English Standard Version in front of you, you'll see how they translate verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, there's that word, and the teachers. So the first word we deal with when we're talking about the leadership in the household of God, we would say this: out of love, God gave to his flock shepherds to lead the flock. Shepherds to lead the flock. Second word, going back to Acts chapter 20. This is verse 17 and then 28. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called in the elders of the church. Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. So a second way that the leadership of the church is described, in addition to shepherd, is overseer. Very simple compound Greek word. Episkopos. Epi means over. Skopos means look. We know there's churches. You'll recognize the Episcopal Church, which is the American version of the Church of England. The Episcopal Church orders themselves where they have one high overseer of the church, almost like a pope. And we would argue, no, it's another way to describe the leadership in the local household. Episkopos very simply means guardian, supervisor, overlooker, overseer. The picture we want when we think of that is as somebody who is up on the tower. I don't know, boy, can you imagine if I try to stand on this? Get 911 on the phone. I'm not going to do it. That's somebody who is overlooking, watching for danger, right? Making sure that the flock, the macro flock, is moving in the right direction. Making sure there's no one who's wandered off into a ditch. Watching for storm clouds so the overseer knows if they need to take that household and get them to shelter. So overseer has the idea of overlooking a group. So we find this word. Remember we saw shepherd, pastor, one time. This word is used four times to describe the household leader. Acts 20:28, Philippians 1, Titus 1:7, and Philippians 3:2. What's interesting, I wasn't here for this, but when you were looking for a pastor, you were trying to discern, is God sent the person you want? You're trying to discern, is this person the one you want? You went to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll talk about this next week, but that's the qualifications of the office. And if you look at 1 Timothy 3, it says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of, there's our word, it uses overseer. It doesn't use pastor. It uses overseer. If anyone, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be. So, out of love, God graciously calls overseers to watch over his household. Same person. So the leaders of the church are shepherds, they're overseers, and now we get to a word that has fallen out of use, particularly in Baptist churches. And if we look at the scriptural use, the use in Baptist churches does not match the scriptural use. And this is where we've got to ask the Lord, as by the power of the Spirit, together to bring us back on track with what the scriptures say. From Miletus, he sent, this is verse 17 of Acts chapter 20. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So the word is elder. Elder, very simply, is a Greek word presbyteros. There are churches that are called Presbyterian church. They're playing off of this word. It means old, older, wisely mature, or as we have, an elder. The picture is right here. This is Bill Valenti after he got back from vacation, and I snapped a shot in the golf cart with him. He's cleaned up, which we're thankful for. But here's the picture. Here's the picture of elder. Now, to the Jewish hearers, they would be very familiar with the term elder. Jewish, this wouldn't be something new. Now, to some of you sitting here today, this is brand new. But to the Jewish hearer, they would be very familiar. So we know, and make note of these things, go back and study these things, because my last challenge before I dismiss you all is purpose to study more about this. I can only do so much here. If we want to move, because we talked about during my question and answer that I truly believe that the biblical model is elders in plurality, because I think the biblical case for it is unassailable. So if at all we feel as a body we're moving that way, we need to be convinced from Scripture. Not just what some guy says on a Sunday morning. We want the Scripture to convince us. So that's going to take some work. We want to roll up our sleeves and work and ask the Spirit to help us in that work. But in Numbers 11, we find this. Then the Lord said to Moses, so Moses is dealing with this, a nation. Good gravy. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel. So there are elders in Israel. Whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers having an authority over them. And bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you. One Jewish commentator says this. From that time, elders became a fixed feature of Jewish life. Each sizable village and city had its own elders. They sat at the entrance to the town where they dispensed justice. We see an illustration of this in Deuteronomy 25, dealing with Levirate marriage. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. Or we see it in Ruth, that all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. When we get to the New Testament, this is what's interesting. How many times have you heard, if you've grown up in a Baptist church, the term elders? Probably not a lot. There's a certain vein that will use elder to describe leadership, But the New Testament, this term is used 16 times in the epistles. Why do I say the epistles? Well, because in the Gospels, it's talking about the elders of Israel. But in the epistles, we're talking about, all right, based on the gospel, how ought the church to be ordered and function in the epistles? In the epistles, 16 times elder is used. And in the New Testament, listen to this. This is Pastor Kip talking, Shepherd Kip talking. In the New Testament is the primary word used to describe leaders. So for instance, and again, note these and study these, Acts 11. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Isn't that fascinating? So the churches that they're sending it to, who's receiving it? The elders. In Baptist life, it would go to the who? The deacons. Chapter 14, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church. Elders in every church. Several elders, I'll add to next week's message. Several elders, one church. For them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Acts 15, we've got the first big church conference, right? Barnabas and Paul are preaching the gospel, and they're running into Jews who are saying, okay, we have faith in Messiah, right? He died for our sins, I get that, but what do I do with this big law we've been taught to follow, with circumcision? Do we still do that? Paul and Barnabas go back to Jerusalem. This is Acts 15. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Who then is the ones who take over the meeting? Ultimately, it's James. The apostle and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. So the apostles are the foundation of the church, right? And then the elders, as the apostles die off, the elders assume the leadership of the church. Acts 20:17, we've looked at it several times. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. There's multiple elders in the church of Ephesus to come to him. So again, let's make sure we recalibrate this. I don't want this to become, okay, he's just teaching on church leadership. Out of love, God graciously gives his household elders to dispense wisdom and guide the lives of those who are members of the household. So these three terms given by God, these three terms are used to describe the leadership of the household. All three terms describe the same person, but again, what's interesting is the biblical data uses those terms this number of times. Elder 16, overseer 4, and shepherd 1. Fascinating. Point number 2. What are the responsibilities of these leaders? Now again, this is where we have to allow biblical data. This is where your Americanism is going to fight against you. Scripture uses some words that make our Americanized, democratic flesh crawl. So, with that leading, the responsibilities of these leaders is very simply to lead. And nobody has a word with that. Nobody has a problem with that. That's a very docile word. But then if I go dot, dot, dot and say lead, dare we say rule? Uh-oh. He just used the word rule. Nobody rules over me. Except God. Problem is, of course, that Scripture uses the word rule. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Next week, we're going to really take that verse apart because it tells us a lot. But it uses the word rule. Proistemai is to direct, rule, be in charge of, be the head of. The elders are to exercise rule over the household. Now, that doesn't mean, as we start to unpack this as time goes on, it doesn't mean the body has no say. It's not what it's saying at all. It's just telling us where the Scripture tells us the body has says, that's where the body has say. Right? The elders are to exercise rule over the household because they are the ones who are accountable to God for the household. My greatest fear is, you've heard me say this, and this is I love you, but I don't fear you. I fear God. And what gives me the greatest fear is that right there. I will be held accountable. You'll be held accountable too as a household member, but not at the level I will be. That's frightening. That's why Spurgeon said, you want to be a pastor? If you want to do anything else, do that before you be a pastor. Because the stakes are high. The elders are to oversee every facet of church life. So every facet of church life, making sure that every facet operates in a way that glorifies God. Because they will be held accountable for if every facet of church life glorifies God. That's why I get up here. I'm not a joke teller. I'm not a storyteller. The stakes are way too high for that. We've lost the gravity of the faith. It's all turned into entertainment. We've lost the gravity of the faith. There's much to be joyful about. I'm redeemed. Only good is coming. But there's a gravity to the faith. Hebrews 13:17 is one of the verses that I use in our new member class. It says this. Here's some more words that my flesh kicks against. Obey your leaders and submit to them. What? This is where it's the hardest pastorally. We've had people leave this church who, we love your preaching, we love your preaching, and then we had to step in and offer a correction to something that was not right going on in the home. Pew. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. So I color-coded this to help us. So when I'm diagramming sentences, trying to interpret the text, I color-code things, and this is how I color-code it. In purple is the responsibility of the household. Obey your leaders and submit to them. In blue is the responsibility of the leaders. They are keeping watch over your souls. And in green is the accountability of the leaders. Those who will give an account. That's the structure of the New Testament church. In all of its glory. Cultural commentator, a Christian, says this. Follow along with me, I'll read with you. Many people also wrongly assume that our church government is patterned after the U.S. government and operates as a democracy. The pastors and elders are elected officers, similar to the president and Congress. While that system is fine for America, at the risk of sounding un-American or anti-Baptist, I must say that democracy is not the biblical way to view church governments. We are not free to impose our American ideas about government onto the church unless we find those ideas in the Bible. So the first thing that we always hear, we talk about elders being in charge of the church, is, well, it's going to be a runaway train. It's going to be a runaway train. Well, that's why elders have to recognize they're accountable. They don't shut the body out. The body still participates but they manage that participation. Their job, their duty is to oversee that body and make sure that body is glorifying God, because they're going to give account. 1 Peter is helpful here too. So this is 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd, there's that word, poimano, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. There's our overlooking. And he already referred to them as elders. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. So Christ is our model. He was a shepherd. He was a servant. He loved, but he also guided and told the truth. He was very clear. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Shepherds are to lead, they're to rule. Elders are to lead, they are to rule. Overseers are to lead and rule. That one person, shepherd, overseer, elder, is to lead and rule the congregation, according to Scripture. Secondly, they are to teach and preach God's Word. God's Word is the standard. That teaching has a lot to do with counseling people, pouring into them, discipling them, helping them work through their problems. Hey, I got A going on here. What do I do with A? Well, let's see how God would want you to deal with A. Where do we find that? We find that in His Word. This is 2 Timothy 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Don't let the season change that. Right? You're going to want to soften this up, put a coffee bar in, and serve popcorn, and let everybody know it's all balloons. Don't do that. The culture's going to want you to do that. Culture's going to promise if you do that, you're going to be building buildings. You're going to be buying out the library to spread out. But don't do that. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. And here's that work of eldering, wisdom, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. When we get into qualifications next week, we're going to see Titus 1:9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word is taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. The flock needs instruction in sound doctrine. The flock needs instruction in sound doctrine. And also to rebuke those who contradict it. Elders, overseers, shepherds are to teach and preach God's word. Elders, overseers, and shepherds are to protect the church from false teachers. Satan hates the church. If you're preaching the word, if we take a step back and stop preaching the word, if we water down the gospel, if we change one word in Scripture, right, from Jesus' the way to Jesus' a way, the world will love us. And what Satan wants to do is Satan wants to send people into the church to get them moving away from the Bible, away from the gospel. And part of the duty of the elder, overseer, shepherd is to protect the church from false teachers. We don't have to go any further if you're still in Acts chapter 20. It's starting in verse 28. We've been reading this and carrying on through verse 31. This is what Paul worries about. So again, this is Paul's my last meeting here, right? So he's getting everything off his conscience. He's getting everything he wants to communicate to these guys. And he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. We don't want to skip that. So the elders of the church constantly, Paul says to Timothy, take heed of yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Constantly, it's like, I always think of like taking a hike through high grass, right, during tick season. And you come home, and what do? You're checking your body for ticks. That's what take heed of yourself is. That's what this means. I'm constantly, oh man, is that one of them? That's constantly what we're doing. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock. So the elders of the church also have to be doing that to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know. Why is this all necessary? Because I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves. Catch that. Now, we don't all of a sudden grow all cynical and of our neighbor next to us, but we just want to have an awareness. If you've been in church long enough, you've been around long enough to see people who one day seem like they're zealous, Christ-following church members, then they go off the rails. In my time in St. Charles, I had to confront a man who became clear the longer I was there that he did not believe in the triune Godhead. So up until that point, everything seemed normal. Then all of a sudden, he started calling church members and saying, you know, I don't know about this Trinity stuff. All to the point where on a Sunday night Bible study, he undermined the teaching of one of the elders of the church. And he had to be rebuked and put out of the church for the good of the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I didn't cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So the elder, overseer, shepherd has the duty, and they will be accountable for God to this, of protecting the church from false teachers. They have a duty of visiting the sick and praying for the body. James says this, is anyone among you suffering? So James, seemingly, his history in Acts 15 would say, he was an elder in the church in Jerusalem. He was kind of the voice of the church at Jerusalem. And Acts 15 records the apostles and the elders speaking there, and Peter's there. The chief disciple's there, and James is there, and Peter defers to James. So that does a lot when we're talking to a Roman Catholic who says that Peter was the first pope. Well, no, he wasn't even in charge of the meeting in Jerusalem in Acts 15. But that's we don't want to get into that now. I'd like to, but we can't. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We go to Acts 6. Acts 6, I believe, we find the seed form. The seed form. So I use seed form. So you put a seed in the ground, eventually you see sprout up, and then you see a big tree. So it starts with a seed. I believe Acts chapter 6 has the seed form of what grows into elders and deacons in the New Testament. But we find this. So remember Acts chapter 6? There's a problem. The widows, so the church is supposed to care for widows. That's true religion, right? The care of orphans and widows, according to James. So Acts chapter 6, we find part of the widows, the Greek-speaking widows. The Greek-speaking widows, they're Jewish, but they're Greek-speaking, so they're seen as second-class citizens. They're not getting their cut. They're not getting their cut of the distribution of food. And what the apostles say is, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. So the elders of the church, the overseers of the church, the shepherds of the church, have to be free of certain ministries. They oversee them, right? They oversee them, but they have to be free because nothing can take away from their time of shepherding, prayer, and ministry of the word. That's different than what we're used to. And then the last one I have is they have to judge in doctrinal matters. So we've got some things that you have to deal with in a church doctrinally. It is the elders who deal with it. So this is Acts 15 again. Some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up, and it is necessary to circumcise them in order for them to keep the law of Moses, and the apostles and elders gathered together to consider this matter. Ultimately, it was the elders of the church of Jerusalem with the apostles there with them who, because it's James who sends this letter out saying, you don't need to be circumcised. And it's a picture of, in the church, the elders, the overseers, and the shepherds are the ones who judge the doctrinal matters. So here's our responsibilities of those leaders. Lead, dare we say, rule. Teach and preach God's word. And that's also shepherding, right? And counseling and discipling and reproving and rebuking and exhorting. All those things. That's a loaded phrase. The elders, the overseers, and the shepherds are to protect the church from false teachers. The elders, overseers, and shepherds are to visit the sick and pray for the body. The elders, overseers, and shepherds are to judge in doctrinal matters. All of these things are given. I'm sorry, I didn't forward the slide. All of these things are given by God out of love for the body. The body is our household is full of mature and immature. We are full of some people who are still trying to kick off the enslavement of sin. We have some people who have come, they're gloriously saved, and they have really bad theology. They're going to grow into good theology by the Spirit and the Word. But out of love for the household, God gives these leaders to oversee the household. So next week, we're going to talk about how many leaders. How many? We talk about elders. I'm using elders because elders is the one used the 16 times in the New Testament. How many elders? The answer is more than one, but we'll talk about that. How many elders? Because right now, this church has one elder. You don't refer to him as such, but yet we have one elder. That's not the biblical mandate. Actually, I think it's dangerous to have one elder. Very dangerous for my soul and for you. And also, we're going to talk about what are the qualifications for these leaders. If God out of love gives these leaders, and these leaders are going to have some authority, because it's God-given authority. And if these leaders, out of good for these leaders who are going to give an account to God, there's some pretty tough qualifications. Some really tough qualifications. And we want to be a church who wants to glorify God, and we want to feel the full weight of God's love for this body. We don't want to treat ourselves on any of those. Here's what I need you to do between now and then, and then I'm finished. As we leave today, end where we started, think about God's love for you. Just think about his love for you in sending Christ to take your sin upon himself. Think about his love for you in that requirement to be in God's presence forever, the perfect righteousness of God, which none of us have, right? Paul says there's none righteous. That perfect righteousness that we need to be in God's presence forever is ours in Christ. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you possess God's righteousness. And that's the only way you'll stand in his presence on Judgment Day. Thank God for his love for you in purposing the church. We bear one another's burdens. There's relationship going on here that you cannot get anywhere else. And that's by God's design. Thank God for his love for you by purposing leaders to have care over your soul. Because you need it. And there's an enemy that wants to make shipwreck of your faith constantly at work. So thank God for his love. Secondly, pray for the leadership of Bible Baptist Church. We're in a season of change and transformation, and it's glorious. There's some things that are hard, but it's glorious because it's not us doing it. It's God doing it. And we just need to be praying for this church. Pray for the leadership of this church. And lastly, and then I'm going to close in prayer. purpose to do further study. When we're talking about elders, and what we're talking about here ultimately is elders in plurality, a group, more than one of elders, who oversee the church, That is an environmental change here. And if it's not from Scripture, we don't want anything, we don't want any part of it. But our duty is to investigate and study and see, is it from Scripture? Because that glorifies God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the gift of leaders, shepherds, overseers, of elders, Lord, who are expressions of your love by caring for the souls of your children, by protecting the flock, by encouraging and counseling, even sometimes stepping in and rebuking. Father, all those things are expression of your love to your children through these leaders. And Father, we just want the leadership of this church to reflect your purpose and your love. So in these coming weeks, as we take to studying these things, Father, I pray that your Spirit would guide us and convince us of just what your Scriptures say. Because we want to rely on that solely as our authority in these matters. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.